Welcome back to the regular exclusive podcast with your hosts, Jace and Renee. And Renee, I feel like we are on an unprecedented string of great trailers right now.
Yeah, we've just been talking about trailers to open up every episode because we've been fucking eating good. It has been trailer season.
It's like we've been texting each other like, what should we talk about for 5 minutes before we get into it? And then we come up with an idea, and then like the day we're going to do it, oh, this trailer dropped and it's awesome. So
exactly. We're like, I can't not talk about it. Like, I feel like we have to. But well, we can give a little quick shout out because we were going to talk about Fallout. We can maybe save it for next week, but great show on Prime. You should go watch it.
It's very, very good. Mm-hmm. But the trailer that we changed our minds last second on to talk about today is M. Night Shyamalan. He's back.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to call it The Trap, but it's just Trap.
I want to be calling it The Trap or Trapped or something too. And I feel like I keep thinking of it that way, but it's just Trap. It's just one word. That's all we need. That's all he needs. I'm so fucking excited because I did not anticipate this movie coming out, or like I didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah,
I knew that I think I might have known the title was Trap, but like that was it.
This was not on the radar at all. All I've been thinking about in regards to Shyamalan is his daughter doing The Watchers.
Well, so that's what's in August, right? It's like the same time as his movie comes out. They're going to be competing at the box office.
Yeah, and he's
which
like,
is fun.
He's producing both of them, so
yeah.
Either
so
way,
he's
he
not really
wins.
competing. Yeah, he's winning both times. But what's really cool about this trailer, first off, outside of the fact that it stars Josh Hartnett, which we talked about with Oppenheimer, he's really back. He's officially back.
Yeah,
this is three in a row, and I'm just so excited because this is like a totally different side of him that he hasn't ever done. But I think the premise is really cool of the fact that like taking his daughter to a concert, and then he finds out there's all these cops there because there's a serial killer called the Butcher, and he's supposed to be here. And so it's a trap for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the twist in the trailer is that Josh Hartnett is the Butcher. And you're like, what?
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like the twist in the Abigail trailer where you're like, oh, what's going on? Oh, okay. I have a different impression of this movie now.
Yeah, it kind of changes things. And I thought it was cool. Like normally I would be annoyed with them giving away a twist like that in a trailer, but
especially a Shyamalan twist.
Yeah, but I feel like that's like this isn't the full twist, right? Like this is probably something you would have realized 30 to 45 minutes into the movie. So I feel like there's got to be something else up his sleeve. And I think it actually is part of the hook for me, at least. Like, I mean, I'm obviously all in on Shyamalan, but I know that varies for people. So I feel like that hook of like him being the serial killer and it's from his point of view is like really fascinating.
Yeah, and I like it. And we've talked about Shyamalan before, like when we did Knock at the Cabin, we talked about how the twist thing, like, you know, he got famous for the twist at the end of Sixth Sense. It kind of feels like that was the best and worst thing to happen to him, because not all of his movies like have these huge twists. And so I don't know, when I see this and I see that the twist is in the trailer, I'm like, oh, cool, maybe now I can just watch this movie and not think like, what's the twist?
Like, that's the thing. I don't ever get hung up on that because I feel like his movies are really immersive. And for me, it's like, I know I'm going to be seeing something totally unique and groundbreaking. I feel like that's what he's doing. That's what he does as a filmmaker. You might not love his stories, but I think he's like one of the best filmmakers ever. And I love what he's doing with the camera in the trailer. But what was super fascinating to me, and I just found this out after watching the trailer, was that this is his longest movie ever. It takes place over almost 3 hours because everything happens in real time in the movie. So there's no like skips of time or whatever. Everything takes place a fucking 3 hour concert for real. And I was like, that is so cool. That's such a great idea.
That is pretty cool. I like that.
I know. It's really, I'm like that. Why haven't they done that? Also, I love the idea of a horror movie set at a concert. First off,
very,
but the fact
very appropriate with the whole era of Taylor Swift that we've had.
100%. I thought that was cool, and I don't know how he's doing that, but I think that's fucking awesome. I heard that he had to rent this stadium for like three, or he was having to rent a stadium for like 3 months, but this one was like they were tearing it down or something, and so, or like in the middle of repair, so he was like, let me use it for 3 months and then you guys can build up again and do your construction. So it worked out, but like they literally had this whole stadium. So why the fuck wouldn't you throw a 3 hour concert? Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on board with it. I mean, he has been self-funding his movies for a while now, and I support that. So you do you, Shyamalan, and who knows, maybe between this and The Watchers, this might just be the year of the Shyamalan.
I hope so. We
Shyamalans.
honestly, we don't deserve it, but I would be so excited about it. It would be really great. I hope both of their movies are incredible. They both look great, and it looks like she takes after her dad. I don't think it's his other daughter, I think, who actually wrote the music and might actually be the performer in the movie Trap. I could be wrong
Oh.
if she's the singer. I couldn't glean that from the article I read, but it sounds like she wrote and performed a lot of the songs, so maybe she is in it because she is a
Oh.
singer and has music videos and shit. So
Oh, I just looked it up. Yeah,
that's her.
the M. Night's her dad, so
Yeah.
it's a family affair.
I love that. That's cool. I wish my family was into making movies. Jesus.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and then get into a wild, wild ride of a movie that is Late Night with the Devil.
We are back in 5, 4. Now, here's Mr. Midnight, Jack Talon.
Oh, good evening, Night Owls, and thank you for allowing me into your living rooms once again.
Night Owls, we've got a heck of a show in store for you tonight, and I'm very excited for you to see it all unfold before your very eyes. I really hope you love it. Gosh, I hope you love it. Please love it.
I'm trying to host a national syndicated talk show,
and I'm trying to help you keep it on the air.
We all know how important it is to keep our sponsors and affiliates happy, but in my humble opinion, there is only one person who really matters in this whole darn crazy business. And that is you, our viewer.
You're meddling with things you don't understand.
Whoa! Now, as you know, here on Night Owls, we think it's very important to keep an open mind. Please welcome Dr. June Ross Mitchell and Lily, the young subject of the book, Conversations with the Devil.
I really don't think it's a good idea, Jack. She's becoming more unpredictable.
That's a good thing. That's why we still do what?
TV. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned for a live television first. As we attempt to commune with the devil.
Late Night with the Devil. First off, great name.
Yeah,
Like,
it really is.
just in terms of like horror names, real good, real catchy.
Horror names or whore names? Because I would also go, I kind of like
I'll
that
go
as a horror
both.
name. Yeah, I think it works for both too. I agree.
came out last week. So just it's fresh on Shudder.
Oh, okay, I was like, it did not come out last week, but okay. But you mean on in streaming? Yeah, just hit streaming. It's on Shudder now. You can watch it. It's fucking awesome.
Yes, it's so cool. The whole time I was watching the movie, I'm just like, this is so fucking cool.
Yeah, it's just a really good vibe, and it's something interesting and unique, which is not always the case that you get with horror or movies in general. I feel like I've been kind of waiting for another great, awesome horror movie of the year to like really wow me. And this one, I feel like really did it.
Yeah, I feel like this really kind of starts the race. You know, I mean, I haven't seen Immaculate. I know you have.
Oh, yeah, I did see that too.
The first Omen, people have been saying really good things about. But yeah, I feel like this is like, we're at the gun has been fired and now it's the race is on.
I've just seen more people really enjoyed themselves with this movie than most, than like some other horror movies. You know, sometimes they're pretty split, and I just feel like this one was like solidly people were like, I love it. I think this was great because it's something different and we always want something different. And the fact that it's like a 70s talk show with a horror vibe is like crazy, but awesome because it works.
Yeah, and this comes at just the right time. We're at the halfway point to October. We've been getting these trailers for all these other horror movies and stuff. And so the end of this year is looking real strong. So this was like the perfect little like halfway point. So yeah, really, really excited to talk about this movie. And
plus it's an indie movie and it made a bunch of money. So I'm just really happy for it.
Yeah, I couldn't find an exact number for the budget, but I'm guessing it was very small. I'm guessing that this was like $1 million, maybe $2 million. But yeah, it grossed over $10 million worldwide, which is great because this movie, like the whole time I was watching it, I was just like, I love The Craft so much. Like, first off, they absolutely nail the look of like a talk show and like from that time period. Also, sorry, real quick recap of the plot. There's a talk show with a host, and the show is going down in ratings. It's l losing to, I think it's was it Johnny
Johnny
Carson?
Carson, The Tonight Show.
Yeah, so it's been losing the ratings to that. And so then the host is like, hey, let's bring a possessed person on for a Halloween special. And it goes about as well as you could guess.
I mean, I feel like it
But
goes pretty well for a while, and then it goes pretty bad for a lot of people. But it starts off like it's kind of fun. I feel like I was like, I would totally watch this show.
love the name of the show, The Night Owls.
The Night Owls, and the music is very like kind of spooky. I know they were kind of doing it up for Halloween too, but it just also like is crazy how much it really felt like the 70s and like it was filmed exactly like a talk show, whereas
Yeah.
it's not like a movie trying to be that is what it didn't feel like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this felt like I was watching a talk show, then mixed with like behind the scenes stuff. And speaking of like the behind the scenes stuff, I loved the opening exposition, like
Oh, I
the
know.
voice and the style. Like, this looks like
Found
a
footage
60
movie.
looks like a 60 minute
Yeah,
segment. Like
exactly. Or I watch found footage movies, and this is always how they start with someone talking about something, and then we're gonna go back and see this never released shit. And you're always like,
Yeah.
it's gonna be horrific. That's why it was never released. I'm pretty sure that's like how I feel watching the VHS movies. It's always like, I shouldn't be watching this. Why does someone have this on tape? You know what I
Yeah.
mean? And I feel
Yeah.
like this is the same way. Like, who the fuck kept this on tape all these years?
Yeah.
What the
And
fuck?
this is like, this should be like the template for anyone who is like, hey, I want to take a VHS segment and make it a full movie. Like, this should be the bar. 'Cause like, I think you described it perfectly. This feels like you're watching a segment of the VHS anthology, but then they spread it to be a solid tight 90. Like, it wasn't too long, it wasn't too short. The pacing, it flowed really good. I enjoyed every minute of this.
I agree. And I think it's just like, let's do more shit like this. Let's try something weird that doesn't seem like I wouldn't think a 70s or a modern day Tonight Show kind of a thing would as a setup for a horror movie. But that's what's exciting about it. Let's try more of that. M. Night
Yeah.
Shyamalan's doing his part with the concert. Can you imagine being at a fucking concert and a horror thing happens? That would be such a fucking, like, I did not expect that to happen here, you
Yeah.
know? And so I feel the same way about like the Tonight Show is supposed to feel safe. You know what I mean? Like you always see that, like they're making jokes, but it's like it's very like PG. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
like, but I could tell, like, I liked how there's just like, even though things seemed pleasant for a while, there was still like this unease kind of rolling through everything. And for me, I don't know about you, but it really started when they were talking to that guy Barry in the audience who was hilarious. But
Yeah.
then the like skeleton costume person next to him
Yeah.
freaked me the fuck out, and I knew, I'm like, that fucker's a problem. We're gonna be seeing that guy a lot, and we did. And of course, it's like you could just tell. But I was like, I love that it wasn't even like this big attention drawn on him. It was just like, you know, just something to really kind of lurk in the back of your mind until it came back up.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. If this were to be real life, who would you want the host to be of the current day hosts? So Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers. It's not really a host anymore, but Conan, Bill Maher.
Conan's always a host, even if he's not hosting anything. He's just like the ultimate
Conan
host.
is
But
the host.
I would still choose either just for my personal preference. I love Jimmy Kimmel and Seth Meyers. But if I really had to pick my ultimate pick, it would be David Desmalchian. Just honestly, after this movie, he fucking nailed it. I was like, this guy should replace Jimmy Fallon immediately. Don't you think? I think he's
Yeah.
way better.
Let's just talk about David Desmalchian. We mentioned it on our outro last week. We love this guy. We've talked about a lot of movies that he's in, and he's been in so many movies. Like, I looked up his IMDb and just took note of him. And I mean, he was in Voyage of the Last Voyage of Demeter, which we talked about, Oppenheimer, The Boogeyman. He was in Ant-Man and the Wasp and Quantumania as two different characters. So like,
well, I think it's weird because I think in that in the Quantumania, I don't think his human character was in it, but he played like one of the things down in the
wherever. That's what it was.
So because I was like, he was really funny in the first two Ant-Man. He was like one of the guys who was like working at the security business with him. And he had like a thick Russian accent or something. So he wasn't in it again, but he was in it as like some other person down there, but like a creature. It was like CGI, so you couldn't tell, but I knew his voice.
Yeah. And he was in the first Dune. He was in Blade Runner. So Denis Villeneuve has got his number.
I mean, he's been in a number of like projects with great directors, and you're just like, no shit, this guy's a fucking great actor. And I feel like he's always playing that guy kind of a roles. And I'm just so it was
balls.
Yeah, always an oddball. And I just feel like it was so exciting to see him just absolutely nail this performance as the host of the show and like everything that went along with it. I don't think he faltered at all.
Yeah, I just remember when we talked about the Boogeyman, he was in it for a short amount of time, but he was awesome in it. And we're just like, put this guy in a lead. He is so good, and he finally got to do it.
We manifested this. This is our doing.
It's all us.
This is this. Yeah. Regular exclusive. Exclusive.
But he was amazing in this. Like, I you call it a guilty pleasure, but I like to listen to talk show monologues just in the background
that.
Of stuff. Like,
it's
they're
so
not
fun.
They're not hilarious. There's some fun stuff in there, but I like the flow of it.
I like the flow of it. It's very much like a old school kind of comedy is what I feel like, especially even now, like they still kind of have to, especially the older school is a little bit different and it scratches a certain itch, but like they still do a version of it today, you know, but it's just, it's not the same as it was like that old school. And like a lot of the jokes too, like I feel like we've heard a lot now, but like back then they would be like brand new, right?
Yeah, but he did such a good job of just feeling familiar, like feeling like a talk show host. And like he was great. He was charming. He was funny. He wasn't weird or like quirky like a lot of his characters are. Like, he just seemed like a real cool dude.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I think he nailed it in the way that like a talk show host. I was thinking about this while I was watching the movie, but I was just like, God, you have to be like so social and like so social, not like not socially awkward or like in your head about anything at all if you're a fucking talk show host. So like they have to roll with the punches and be like so adept at like, okay, well, that was awkward. Let's do this, you know, or like just kind of like building a rapport with people who are there to do who knows what. Like, especially on this show, it sounded like they were doing a bunch of shit, but it does feel that way, right? Or they're like, they kind of just have to be so social and stuff. And it was just like, it's such a different thing for him that I've not seen in his other roles. He's always kind of socially awkward and weird, and so for him to do that total 180, that I was like, man, this is like Jimmy Fallon but better. Like I was literally like fucking, he should be nervous. David Dasmalchian's coming for the job.
Great. I mean, there's no way that he would get a nomination because it's a horror movie, but like I loved his performance in this. I thought he was just absolutely perfect. And
yeah, like, they'll never reward him for anything, but God damn it, you're right. He deserves it.
Well, and he did such a good job of being amongst like all of this crazy stuff that's going on, but like not being fazed by it, which is the first tip that he did some sketchy things with that social club he's in, the Grove.
Yeah, I would say doing like satanic naked rituals with men in the woods would be kind of sketch for sure. But then again, I've never been invited to one of those. Maybe I just need to be a part of it. Because like dancing naked under the moonlight and drinking a cup full of blood sound like things that I'd be into.
And some yellow jacket stuff. So you'd catch on to it.
I would catch on to it. But if we're like murdering like my partner, like I wouldn't want that. Although, of course, they don't tell you that. But spoiler alert, we'll get there. But yeah, I feel like he had this mystique about him where you could tell he was kind of, there's some stuff that we didn't know that maybe was like darker, because he was very much like pushing the envelope and not really listening to other people when they were like, I don't know if this is a good idea. I was almost like, I wish this was true. I wish somebody would have tried this on live television. That would have been crazy.
But yeah, I do love in the exposition opener that they do, like, they just kind of dropped the pin that he was in a cult And then they move on to the next thing. So it's just like, we're just gonna say this. We're not gonna talk about it anymore, but we're definitely coming back to it. It's definitely relevant.
I was like totally expecting it to be like the same shit that was like True Detective season one, like those guys out in the trees and like fucking doing their naked orgies and were like sacrificing girls. That sounded about pretty similar to what they were talking about in this movie. So I was like, that's just what I pictured. So I was like, yeah, I think he's definitely up to something. And then once the demon was like, oh, nice to see you again, I was like, yeah, no, he's definitely up to something for sure. That's a, if that demon wouldn't lie about that. They don't lie ever.
Never, but so, and I thought this movie did a really good job of feeling like I was watching a talk show. Like I loved the aspect ratio and how they switch it. First off, the switching of the aspect ratio in this movie, this is the most I feel like I've noticed it since like Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like they were very deliberately switching things around at very specific spots. And I know like Oppenheimer did it, but like yeah, I really noticed it in this. Like when the show is going, when the camera's on, when we are playing the audience, like it was always in that narrow aspect ratio. And like the banter between the guests and stuff, and then like interacting with the crowd, it felt very real to me. Like
Yeah,
I
I
loved
literally felt
it.
like I was just watching a late night show from the 70s. Like that's exactly what it set out to be like. And I feel like everything about the aesthetic, the colors, I think it was really the brown and like orange and yellow. Those were like so 70s and like just so retro that I was like, this is perfect. But yeah, you're right. Like the way that they were interacting with the audience and like just that, like that audience guy, Barry, was like sort of, they had like the medium that was calling out. That guy was hilarious, but it was just like, it just all felt like a very much like a realistic thing, especially for like those older shows that were like, I can know, I mean, I obviously wasn't alive in the 70s, so I never watched them, but I do feel like the late night shows that are like past like, you know, the Johnny Carson Tonight Show, they're like the after show or like whatever, the later ones, they only get weirder because it's like, what, who cares? We're fucking on it. Like midnight, who cares who's watching? If you got kids watching, that's your problem. You know what I mean? So they were just like kind of up to weird shit, I feel like in general. So it does kind of feel like this is the perfect place where someone would be like, I wonder if we could interview the devil on live television. We should try it. Yeah, this just seems like the perfect place because it's also like, again, it's not as, it's not the number one show. It's number two. It's fucking failing. So this is like a last ditch effort. You're like, fuck it. Who cares? And in their minds, when they were upsetting the TV people or whatever, they're like, great, that's good for us. That's what you want.
Well, and then I thought they framed it perfectly with having the magician who turned like, trying to figure
Yeah,
out all the fake
I love
stuff.
that. Who turned, yeah, like a skeptic and who was like just fucking obliterating all the actual, all the other people who are still in the field.
Yeah, he was great because yeah, like they had all these like supernatural things going, and then they had this guy to essentially just like debunk everything. And so it was
Yeah.
fun, like the guy who talked to the dead, like we've all seen that bit, and so like
Yeah.
when we're watching it, we're watching for all the cues of like, oh, he's not actually asking for anything specific. He's saying
Yeah.
things and waiting for responses, and that happens. And then he has like that moment with that one couple, which like feels very real. And then we learned
Yeah.
that obviously it was collected information, but like they did a really good job of balancing the we know this is fake with there's something supernatural here.
Yeah,
And
they kept trying, every time something weird would happen, somebody, regardless of who it was, would go, that's just this happening. Don't worry. It's like everyone was just, but I'm like, it did feel a little bit more like they were really trying to convince themselves it was just that by the end. Like they're like, no, we're okay. That's fine. No. You don't need to do an encore performance, ladies. We already know this isn't real. I do agree. I think that guy was great, the debunker. He's like based on a real guy from back then too, who was like really famous and did the same shit. And I'm just like, wow, that's crazy. But it's like some of the shit that he was saying, I love that. And like, I love the fact that they had that voice on the show, or else it would have just been, oh, they're just doing too much supernatural shit too quick. It really helped kind of keep that balance in a way that like most of these movies that feature a demon-possessed girl, they don't. They always dive into the religious aspects of everything. And I was so excited that they did not do that, and that instead they really dove into the satanic aspects of that, because I think that's way more interesting. I'm tired of seeing some great little nun beat the bad demon nun because she's got a pure heart and she's related to Jesus or something. Yeah. Like, I don't care. That's not real. That's not how it works. Like, I want to see a fucking just something different, you know, and a different angle on this possession stuff that we've already said is like so overdone at this point. And I feel like maybe that's a good thing because we're finally starting to see some unique things in the possession genre that we haven't seen before, like between this and Talk to Me and a bunch of other ones too.
And I was expecting a lot of jump scares.
Yeah,
in
me
this
too.
There wasn't like
none.
There was genuinely just really scary stuff, but nothing that was like nothing that felt cheap. Like when the guy talking to the spirits, the medium, like when he does his whole thing and then at the end he just starts screaming because like he's like, who's Minnie, who's doing all this stuff? Like I was like, whoa, this just took a turn, what's going on? And then like he just starts like screaming and then he spits out the vomit or blood or whatever. It was just crazy. And it comes out of nowhere. And it's very sudden, but it's not like jumpy. It's really effective.
It's effective for sure. Cause it's like but they kind of like lead you up to it. Cause like after he does that whole thing with like his eyes changing color and like the thing about somebody, please answer, like take it, like fucking accept this spirit or whatever. It was like almost like I felt like he was like, someone accept the call. Like it was like accepting a collect call. but I feel like right after that is when then that he sat on stage with the guy who debunks shit. And then like throughout that, he was like coughing and shit. And like it kept like just being, I literally couldn't focus on anything else. I was just watching him the whole time because he's like kind of struggling and like sweating. And he's getting really angry and then he just like freaks out and tries to leave. And then it's like this whole thing. And then you kind of get distracted because David Desmalchian is like, I think that third reading was for me. It was my wife.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, my God. And then he just like fucking throws up again. And like then it's everywhere. And then it's like fucking close up on the camera as they cut to commercial. So good. Can you imagine watching that on TV in the 70s? That would be insane.
Well, I mean, it would be crazy watching that today, even without like the throw up or anything. Like on talk shows, there's no confrontation anymore.
Yeah,
like
there's not,
there's no one that's like fighting. Like when Carmichael comes out, like he comes out to fight. He's gloved up and he's ready to just brawl because he like calls that guy out specifically.
Yeah, he does. He definitely has the right attitude for that character. He should be like that. He's a debunker. They fucking love to do that. They're like, oh, yeah, where's the proof? It's like, OK, well, clearly your fucking soul died years ago. And I think I'm right about that, as you'll see later on. But yeah, he really comes out swinging and very confrontational. That's what he's there to do. It feels less debunking. He's like, let me stir the pot. And well, I feel like, yeah, we don't get that a lot unless you're like on a political show or like a news show.
Yeah, and they did a good job kind of setting it up in the beginning exposition where they kind of talk about how Jack gets desperate and kind of goes like the Jerry Springer route where he just starts bringing on controversial people and stuff. And so like this kind of fits into that where it's like, you know, the whole thing is kind of controversial and just trying to do shock and awe for sweeps.
Sweeps.
I love Gus in this movie.
Oh my God. Isn't he the perfect guy who's like the number two on a talk show? He's like exactly that kind of guy.
He is every sidekick on a talk show like I've ever seen. And he's perfect.
I know. When he was trying to like say shit about, I'm not comfortable with this, I was like, oh, dude, you're fucking stretching your role. Like you think that fucking like there's no sidekick in the history of these shows who's ever fucking said shit. You think Guillermo says shit to Jimmy Kimmel? No. No. He doesn't get to say, Jimmy, I don't like that. No, I doubt it. I was like, this guy's so sweet, though. I felt so like, I hope his poor little face and everything's okay.
Yeah.
So when they do that like hypnotism thing with him, I was like, oh, God, no. I think that might be when things really took a turn for me.
Yeah, that's when the movie, the movie gets pretty crazy, but that's when it gets really nuts. We'll get to that part. I also loved when Carmichael was like talking about his organization stuff, you know, name drop the Warrens, you know.
Oh, I know. Yeah, of course. Everybody loves them. I mean, they do now because of the Conjuring movies, but those aren't real. Those are like fantasy movies about those people. Those people are really fucked up evil people
Yeah.
in real life. So just in case
So,
you didn't know.
yeah. Well, then, before we get to Lily and that scene, because that scene's just great. Again, I think when I watch this movie, I just love the craft behind it. Like how they have the view of it when the camera's on, and then whenever the camera's off, like it goes to black and white, and you just see the re people actually reacting to what is happening. And
Yeah.
you see like the crew freaking out, but then like Jack is just like, no, that's good television. And then like his manager Leo is like, no, that's good television.
I
They
know.
it's
They're
all
both on
great.
another level compared to everybody else there. Everyone else is there. It's like, this is fucked up. This is bad. But it is funny. Like, it does seem like the op, like, most people in the 70s, like, satanic panic in the 70s and 80s became a very real thing. So it was like, we can't, how dare you even talk about the devil on a late night show, let alone even talk about fucking talking to him on the
Yeah.
show as a guest. Like, it's just, I feel like they were rightfully so. Like, I could see the crew being that, like, bothered by that. I feel like nowadays it might not be as big of a deal.
I mean,
Like, people would just be like, eh, it's not real. I don't care. Or
I feel
they'd be
like,
like, well, let's see. Prove it to me. Yeah, I want to
yeah.
see this. I'd be interested. I'd watch.
I feel like they did a good job of like only Gus is kind of weirded out at first, like he's a little superstitious, but then like as things happen and they cut to commercial break, like more and more people are like, this is crazy. We should not be
They
like
start like walking off the set. They're like, fuck this shit. I would have walked off for sure when the guy started puking the black bile or whatever the fuck that was. That looked like some satanic shit.
was, yeah, I was like exorcism nod.
Yeah,
Nice.
always the puking. Honestly, it's funny that there's all these movies that, especially now, all these possession movies reference The Exorcist. And after finally watching The Omen from the same era, I'm like, The Exorcist, I've just never been a fan of. I just think it's really overhyped. It's not that good of a movie. I
Ooh,
really don't think so.
hot take
I
from
know.
Renee.
The Omen kicked its fucking ass, but also I'm not really into the whole religious horror genre, so maybe that's it. But I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times. I'm sorry, I always quote Beetlejuice because when I watched that movie as a kid and he said it was a comedy, I thought that when I watched it the first time that I was laughing at everything, and I was, but people were like, "What the fuck's wrong with you?"
I mean, the original Scary Movie,
Scary Movie
really.
Two. Yeah.
Oh, that was Scary Movie Two. That
Yeah, it
oh,
was the haunted
you're right,
house
you're right,
one,
you're right.
yeah.
That opening bit really took the fire out of the scariness of The
Yeah, but
Exorcist.
I agree with you. That scene is burned into my brain forever now. But even before that, when I saw The Exorcist, I still was like, what's the big deal? This bitch. I'm like, she's just being like, I mean, honestly, if I was the mom, I would have fucking slapped that kid a few times.
All
But
right, well,
anyways, this was like still doing lovingly nods to The Exorcist while doing its own thing. I didn't feel any similarities to that at all, outside of like a couple little nods. Like some, like the design of the demon face when she's like possessed.
the
Like
throw up the
stuff like
demon
that.
face, Gus saying the power of Christ compels you, and
I
then
mean,
that
that's what
ends.
anybody would know to say. I've literally been at church and like thought that that's what I'm supposed to say in general, but then I'm like, no, that's just the exorcisms. That's just when you're, I thought that you're supposed to say that when they give you the communion. It was like, when they say, like, God be with you. And I was like, and the power of Christ compels you. Like, not like I'm exorcising a demon, but like it could be used for more than that. You never
Well,
know.
you don't. I mean, I guess Christ would know. Power of Christ compels things. I don't know.
You would
But let's
know.
talk about Lily.
It's not that compelling. I'm just thinking of this as the end.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill. Hey, guess what? It's
Not
not that compelling.
that compelling. Oh, so Lily,
Yes, the little girl with the doctor. Is Lily the girl's name? Yeah.
Lily is the girl's name, and then the doctor June.
Dr. June, yes, okay.
Yes.
And like she's the one who's like been watching over her and helping her and trying
Yeah.
to unlock the conversations with the devil.
Yeah. Well, they don't prefer possession. I forget the exact term it was, but it's
It's like it's
essentially a possession.
possession. Yeah. Call it what you want, but let's just say it's a demon possession.
So loved the design of Lily when she gets possessed. The one thing I was confused about was like, so are we supposed to assume that she's only weird when she's possessed. Because like the moment they brought her out and she stared directly into the camera, I'm like, oh, this girl's a problem.
She's weird the whole time. I'm pretty positive that that's not her at all. Like, and if it is, the demon is like feeding words into her mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I did not pick. I mean, granted, I have no idea what she's like outside of that show. So like, I'm just like the audience, but she was upsetting before any demon shit happened. Yeah. I flagged that pretty quick. I was like, oh God, look at that fucking look. She's being so weird. And then she's like staring directly into the camera. And like, when she's looking back over the shoulder to the camera, I was just like, stop fucking making eye contact with me, bitch. I don't like this. Yeah. Like, look away. She was very unsettling and unnerving for just being a normal looking little girl.
Yeah.
So she did a great job, basically. Yeah. Before she even had the demon makeup, I was unsettled.
Yeah. And I loved just like the evolution of Jack like peer pressuring June to like do this demonstration.
Yeah.
Because like,
it's just an insane thing to ever think that you could ever do this. But like, this would have been the time that if they're ever going to pull it off, it would have been probably around this time.
Yeah.
Late night show. Barely any people watching. People watching a lot more as it goes on. But but yeah, it did feel like he was kind of not listening to her. I like the line that she was like, you're a talk show host, but you're a terrible listener.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I feel like most of those guys are, honestly, they don't really listen. They're just like, they ask you questions that you've already rehearsed. Like, it's all fake. But it seems genuine because we like just are a sucker for it, I guess. But
we just like hearing celebrities talk.
I know. And so exactly. But I thought that like the way that he like really did it the worst, like kind of weaselly way was like saying when she was like, we're not going to do a demonstration. He's like, oh, just think about it. And then it's like he brings it up on the stage when they're live. It's like, great. And now the audience is going like, come on. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I don't want to be the one person who's like, I'm a party pooper, but honestly, maybe she should have had some fucking moral values and stuck by him after that. I don't think I would succumb to peer pressure if it's like the devil. Do you guys really want the devil out in here?
I just got this like this image in my head of the scene when everyone's like, yeah, do it, June. And then just one voice like, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Let's just call it.
Could we talk about this before we all fucking start chanting things? Like, I don't think anyone's thinking here. They're just going, yeah. But it's like, I just always am the type of person that go, sure. On the 0.01% chance that it's actually real, though, like, I don't want to be here. So I will fully avoid that activity in order to not have that 0.01% chance of being there when a demon is fucking on screen, on TV, live. I don't need to be in the audience. I'll get the fuck out. I would have ran, definitely.
And Jack and June are together, right?
It sounds like it. Yeah, they don't. Like they I like that they kind of keep it vague.
Like they had that scene where she's like, we shouldn't do this. And then like he's like, no, we're good. And they like kind of like hugs her sort of.
Yeah, like, then she's saying like she has had a lot of lapses in judgment. It sounds like I think I just read an article with David Desmalchian, and he was saying that it's like not specifically mentioned in the script. So he kind of like built up like a history of the character and their relationship with her and like kind of talked about it. So it was like he said that he never cheated on his wife, Madeline, who died of cancer. But it was after Madeline that he had started to have feelings for this chick when he met her, whatever. And then now it was like, yeah, let's. But he's also still using her at the same time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he has feelings for her, but he's still is very much trying to just use her.
Yeah.
It's also like he just doesn't believe in anything.
Yeah.
Whoa. Until it's too late. But it's weird because he must have if he already like, I mean, maybe he doesn't really believe in it. He thinks it's just all for show, like the trees group that does their rituals out there that he's supposedly part of. And if he's around that, you'd think he would believe in this shit. But he seems very much skeptical of June, even when he's like, this is great for TV, but it feels like he's like, she's putting it on.
So yeah, I fully agree. He's using her. Yeah. I don't know if I would agree that he's skeptical, because I think he's very dismissive of pretty much everything that happens. He plays it up when the camera's on, but like based off his involvement with the cult, I think he kind of knows what's going on, and then he realizes what's actually going on. So
yeah.
I feel like, because he's like, this is how we're going to sell your book. So he's like manipulating her. but like this
But
is
really
really
using it
all
for
for
him.
him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when he's like, oh, the greatest point when you realize he's totally off his rocker was when he's like, well, we could get you back weekly for a regular segment. It's like,
Yeah.
no, that is not anything that you should be coming out of this with. If that's what you've learned, my dear boy, you must go back and retake the test. He has failed. Yeah. But so I guess I was just thinking that, like, I know he's kind of like questioning things, but then he like kind of is like, ah, no. But I think what I thought was interesting in this interview with him was that David Desmalchian was saying that, like, the character, he doesn't think, like, because this is around the point where you start to figure out that, like, he might have made some promise to this ritual, this
Yeah,
cult.
she says that thing about we knew each other back in the high trees.
Yeah, or like exactly. And so it's like he's already like been supposedly in a ceremony to pray to this deity, this demon, and like Araxes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it sounds like maybe from what he said that he wouldn't have knowingly said, yes, I'll give up my wife for my career. But
Yeah.
it was like more of like they're doing this whole thing, and then it's like, would you do anything? Would you give up anything in order to make it? And it was
Yeah.
like, probably, yeah. And that's how David Desmalchian was looking at it. So I felt like that was good because I was like, oh shit, did he like knowingly go take her, kill her in the worst
Yeah.
way possible? That's fucked. I don't like this guy. So I knew that it didn't feel that way from anything else about the character. So it was just something I kind of struggled with. But reading that interview made it feel better. So that's why I was like, maybe he really didn't believe even in the ritual until Madeline probably
Yeah.
they took her and he was like, oh shit. Okay,
Yeah.
I guess this is real. So I do feel like you're right. Maybe he was more open to it now because he'd already kind of been through his own shit with the satanic rituals and such.
Well, and then they establish the character throughout that he's focused on how good this is for TV, not
Yeah.
what's actually happening. So he's just knowingly pushing aside any sort of like concern for other people. It's his own selfishness that he's
Yeah.
focused on.
Yeah.
But so the possession demonstration, great scene, really good. And then
She
our
fucking
guy
levitates. So, like, how do you know what I mean? It was pretty fucking badass.
And our guy Carmichael
Just
comes in
destroys it.
hot,
Yeah.
and that scene was crazy.
That was nuts. Okay. Yeah. Cause I was like, how the fuck is he gonna show that she faked this demon possession with like whatever demonstration he's about to
Yeah.
do? And it's like so bizarre because it goes on for a while and you're like, what's happening? And it's poor Gus, the little sidekick guy. And you're
Yeah.
like, don't hurt him. And then, of course, it's like he's so scared of worms. So I was like, oh God. And then it was like, oh, you got a cut there. And it's like, what is that? It's a worm. And then he's like ripping
Practical
open it,
effects.
like this ripping open his stomach and all the worms coming out. I was like, oh my God, this is so upsetting. And is it if it couldn't get any more upsetting, then it comes out of like that giant fucking dildo looking one comes out of his
Yeah.
eye. And I was like, is this what worms really look like up close? Oh my God, they are nightmare creatures.
Well, and
Jesus.
I loved so much that like the idea was that he was hypnotizing the people in the room, but then also the
The
viewers.
viewers, so that's why we were
Like
seeing it that way, and I was like, that's so cool. Like once he like pulled it back,
yeah,
and
that
they
was
played the
so
tape.
smart. And then there's even like that point where before he like snaps his finger and then it like keeps going wrong, he
Yeah.
winks at the camera.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, is
And
this in hypnosis? He's winking to us? How is he doing this?
but then yeah, then when like he snaps his finger and it just keeps getting worse, I was like, oh,
Oh
whoa,
shit, now it's really taking a
demons
turn.
taking over. And then he says that line like sleeper or like
Awake. Now dreamer awake.
dreamer now awake. And then like it all goes back to normal. I was like, whoa, wait a
Yeah.
second. And that scene was so fucking gnarly and cool.
It was just so unexpected and to have all those great, it was very much like night, like very much like the thing practical effects is what it felt
Yeah.
like. And it looked from the 70s too. So it was like even cooler
And that
because
was
like it looked like it would be the special effects they would have in that time period, maybe. This is probably a little better, but
well, and that was one thing that played really well into this low budget that they were working with, like having the narrow aspect, and then like it looked fuzzy, like it didn't look like it was in high def. And so like those practical effects really worked really well
Yeah.
in that area. And
I agree.
I loved it.
I think they usually work really well in low budget stuff. So it's like, if you're making a low budget movie and it's just filled with CGI, I hate you. What are you doing with your life? Get out of here. Don't do that. That's like when you should be like, I'm going to prove how good of a filmmaker I am, because I'm going to make it with like real shit that I can actually record. You know what I mean? And it's expensive as fuck. They were saying they only had $150,000 for special effects for Late Night with the Devil. And they had over like something about 300 visual effects total in the movie. So it was about $500 they had to spend per effect. So that's like very cheap.
Dude, just hire the guy from Terrifier.
Yeah,
He
that's
got
true.
you.
That might be a bit much. He might be like throwing in too much gore. We're like, okay, he doesn't need to fuck the intestines. Okay, we just need to have them fall out. Okay, I don't know what you're doing over there. And get the fucking clown out of here. He's not a part of this.
We know you want the clown to be in there, but he's not in this.
I
Wrong,
mean,
wrong
yeah.
franchise.
If he would, he kind of would have fit though. Like, tell me that he wouldn't fit perfectly just showing up like Art the Clown as the guest. Like, he would have been great. He
He's just
really would
in
have
the
fit.
audience.
No, in the audience, but like as a guest, and he didn't speak and he just was creepy and did his weird thing. Because, like, it would be so unsettling the whole movie if you know that Art the Clown's there. Even more of a crazy thing would be if the twist was like he didn't even kill anyone. He just walked right out of there when the demon shit started going off. Demon's like, catch you later, homie.
You got this.
Yeah. I think I just improved this movie a little bit. I don't know. I didn't think it could happen, but I kind of feel like maybe you're right. The Terrifier guy needed to be a part of this. Yeah,
Oh man. So yeah, so that's the hypnotizing scene is when the weirdness really starts. And then that's when the movie kind of goes totally crazy. Kind of similar to like what we talked about, You'll Never Find Me. Like it feels like there's an ending and then the real ending happens.
I liked that because I was almost like wondering throughout the whole thing if like, is this gonna be a hoax? That the devil chick, the demon chick is not really possessed. Because I will say, I was like, pretty much like, okay, how are you going to disprove this? And then when he did that hypnosis thing, I was like, okay, so you basically disproved everything, except for then they're like, let's play the tape back. Because like when they play the tape back for the worm thing, right? It doesn't look like anything. He's just like telling him to do stuff, but we all missed it because we were hypnotized. So it's just crazy. But I'm like, if you, so then they go back and watch the one with the demon girl and it's exactly the same. And then they're like, oh shit. And I think that was cool because I was also like, I was kind of expecting, like, oh shit, maybe that would be the thing. Is like, it's called Late Night with the Devil, but it might not really be that black and white. You know what I mean? So I was interested to see how that would happen.
I love Desmalchian's performance when he was like telling him to pause it and like scroll slowly, like he's looking
Yes.
for something. And then I felt myself lean in like I was with him looking for something. And
Yeah, when he's like, play the tape back. I want to see what happened. And then it was like fucking his wife as a ghost. I was like, that's high def though. How is that ghost coming through in high def compared to the rest of this image? But it's okay. Fuck it. And it was great because when they go back to him and he's like, he says her name and he's like, Minnie or whatever. And then you see her hand on his shoulder. And then it cuts to the wide shot and she's gone. And you're like, ooh, spooky. I
Ooh.
love it. Ooh, I
But
love
then
that kind of shit.
that's when Mr. Wriggles
Yeah.
just unloads and annihilates
Lays his
everyone.
loaf, as you like to say.
Yes, lays it out. Splits
This is
Lily's
my
head
loaf, bitch.
open.
Yes. And then becomes like the TV demon, which apparently he already is. Or like he's, I didn't realize he was like an entertainment demon or like he loved a show. Like he was a showman. That's what the
Oh.
thing was. They said that's like that's where we get Abracadabra from,
Yep,
is like his name. And so it's like, oh, that
get
makes sense why he'd want to be staring at the camera because he's like, I love this. I'm on TV. This is so cool. You know what I mean?
a and is then we get a Jurassic Park reference, don't we? It says clever girl.
Oh, he
Is it?
does say clever girl, but he doesn't say it right. He goes like,
Yeah.
clever girl.
Well, Jurassic Park wasn't out yet, so
Yeah, that's true. I guess we'll cut him a break. But I will say, like, one thing I love about the debunker guy is that once all this shit goes fucking wild, which I would say, like, it's definitely wild when she's like grabbing like the different fucking beams of fucking energy and like head splits open and she's like got like TV fire in her. But like, I feel like when he, poor little Gus, when he like fucking twists his head all the way around, I was like, oh God, I knew his head wasn't gonna be all right. Cause earlier he was like, you're not gonna do anything to my head, right? And I'm like, yeah, that means you're gonna have fucking something done to your head, buddy. But I like the fact that the skeptic was like so anti everything this whole time. Nothing's real, nothing's real. The minute that it's real, he's like, I will pledge my loyalty and do anything that you want, you wonderful person. Like, it's like, okay, so you were just waiting for someone to give you some proof, and then like that's all you needed. He was like, I'm ready to, but I love that the demon was like, no, fuck you. You spent all night fucking trying to tear me down. You know what I
No,
mean? He was like pretty spiteful at that point.
such a bandwagon Satanist.
Such a bandwagon Satanist. If you're a real Satanist, buddy, you would have already been on board. I mean, he was trying to get into the club, but it sounds like he just wanted the orgies because he's a pervert. But like, none of the blood sacrifice and rituals. Like, come on, you can't just join a satanic group or cult for the orgies. That's just bad form. There's a lot of places you can go to for just the orgies. You know, this is a specific kind of orgy, a blood orgy. You got to kind of be into that. And I feel like I'm glad that the demon saw through it. It was like, no, fuck off. I'm going to melt your soul from the inside. I was like, that felt like some shit from Indiana Jones. Like when they're like, the guy melts his whole face off in the first one. I'm like, that's what it felt like a little bit.
That
'Cause he was like so like hot and just melting. It was like really disturbing.
that would be a bad death
Yeah.
of
I
all the
mean,
deaths. I mean, I felt bad for June, but
yeah.
well, I mean, luckily that's a quick death, I feel like. I mean, Gus got the best death because
He
that's
did.
immediate.
That's the one I want. I really want my neck broken. I've got this fucking crick in my neck all the time, and I feel like if I got my neck broken to die, that would be the best. I get that fucking half a second of release, and I'd feel like, okay, I'm at peace. Go ahead, all the way. You know?
Yeah.
Just a girl can dream. Sorry.
So then we get into the ending, which is the weirdest part, and it seems like this is the part that people are most divided on.
Yeah, I
Like
guess so.
there's people who really like this ending, and then there's people that thought this ending really soiled the experience for them.
How? I don't
I
know. I
know.
don't understand those people.
So I definitely had to do some like YouTubing for me to understand it. On second viewing, I understood it a lot more, but it essentially tells the story of him selling his soul to get the top spot.
And that
And
it's basically just don't ever do this. That's the message of the movie. Don't ever fucking make a trade or a deal with a demon because they aren't gonna fucking go, okay, let's make this a nice and even trade and I'll never talk to you again. It's like, are
yeah.
you kidding? This guy was like waiting to come back and go, we're not actually done with you. Ha 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 ha. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
And I feel like
it's like
you should
selling
have
something at
expected
a
that.
pawn shop. Like
Exactly.
you're not going to get a good deal.
Yeah. And it's like, why do people convince themselves that they will? Because they're desperate.
Yes.
So it makes sense. But it is like, I just kind of assumed at that point, I was like, that is kind of the natural conclusion for me, is what happens in the movie. I think maybe people got caught up because it's like you're watching this like found footage documentary, supposedly, and then it goes into like his own mind and like his own hallucinations. So you're like, was this on TV? How the fuck did I see that? But no, fuck it. Who cares? Just roll with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It definitely goes into his psyche, and maybe that's where people are confused because they didn't know. But it's like, I loved that where it's like they call him back out. He's like, what are you doing out here? Why are we all out here again? And then it's like you could tell he's in like some fucking, oh God, this is fucked, this is not real. And then he's like, I love that whole part when he's just like screaming and he's like, turn off your TV, stop watching, stop. And I was like, okay, he's finally fucking learned his lesson. Too late, but he's at least saying the right things now.
Yeah, and the again this like goes back to the aspect ratio switching. Like, as soon as it switched to like full frame, I was like, okay, this is happening in a place that's separate from anything else that we've seen. It's not the black and white. It's not the narrow frame. Like, this is happening in his mind, and I can understand people being like, it is kind of jarring. Like, we've been watching this whole thing kind of in this small frame of like, we are the audience watching the late night show. And then it switches to the thing that's like, oh, I haven't seen this for an hour and 20 minutes. Like, what is this? But I thought it was really effective at essentially filling in the gaps of kind of, they lay that one hint at the beginning of the movie. He was a part of a cult group. And then, like, him going through his career and what led him to making the deal with the devil and then not knowing that the price was his wife.
Yeah, and then also more than that.
Yeah.
Because that's, I think maybe honestly, personally, I took it as like maybe the devil wasn't coming back to collect a second time, like normally, like he doesn't always do that. But I feel like this guy was really pushing it. Like, not only is he like, he made the deal with Satan or whatever, whoever this abracadabra guy is. And he's like, okay, I'll make the deal with you to be number one. It still hasn't happened yet. Like they said, even like his most powerful episode was still like number like 1 point behind Johnny Carson.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he thought like, I'll just take matters into my own hands and I'll just fucking interview this demon that I fucking prayed to on TV. Why not? Like, that'll be fun. And so I feel like the demon was like, I mean, I love TV and all, but like, fuck you for being so like high and mighty that you think you could do that. You know what I mean? I feel like he just kind of pushed his boundary. He pushed his luck a bit too far, because it's like one thing to make the deal and make the trade, but like seems like he kind of went a little too far with like getting too much out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Or trying to get too much out of it.
Yeah. And I also thought that the ending also really worked well with the entire setup they did of like what we see versus what's recorded.
Yeah.
You know,
loved
like
that.
We didn't see the recording. Like, we as the audience, we also switch our roles as the viewers. Like, we're people watching a movie, but then we're also at times people watching a late night show.
Yeah, or we're like part of the studio audience or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it feels like.
And so then when it switches to his memories, we're now not the audience of the late night show. We're the audience of the actual movie. And then we see the conclusion where he's in this hypnotic state sort of thing. And then kills the girl, and now he's the only one left.
Yeah.
And
that's like, perfect, though. I'm glad that it wasn't like, okay, now he's dead too. It was like, no, now you're really gonna pay for it. Like,
it was great.
It fit really well, because the girl even said to him when she was like being all the way that she said his name Jack really bothered me every time. She's like, thanks, Jack. Like, everything. It was just like, it's too much. It's like, if someone uses my name too much, I'm like, do you hate me? Why are you saying that? You know what I mean? Like, I really get unnerved by that. I don't know why. And so I was just like, bitch, cool it. And then she says to him, like, don't worry. I think you're going to be, I know you're going to be very famous really soon. So I was like, yeah, something's happening here tonight, obviously, or else this wouldn't be a horror movie. if nothing happened, I'd be like, wow, that's the greatest twist I've ever seen. Nothing fucking happened. Wow. Did not expect it. So the fact that like once shit was going down, I was just like, oh yeah, this is going to end badly. I assumed he would die though and still be famous that way. But the fact that he could be famous and still be alive and enjoy it, but it's like he's not going to enjoy it because now he's going to be in jail.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just that you never make a deal with the devil, man. No matter what kind of devil it is, that's never going to be a good deal. Especially if you start getting hubris, like, oh, I fucking outsmarted that devil. Don't ever do that.
I mean, we'll never get the answer to the question of like, so what did the cops do with the footage of the demon actually annihilating people before getting stabbed? Because that all actually happened. Like, when it flashed to him at the end, Gus's head was still turned around.
That's what I'm
the
saying.
Other guy was burned.
But I'm wondering if maybe it all looked like it came from him.
I mean, that would imply that.
How would he have fucking done all that?
That would imply that Jack twisted someone's head clean around, flamethrowered.
He has the demon powers. When he's the demons, maybe jumped from the girl to him.
Maybe.
I mean, they did that at The Exorcist, so I wouldn't be surprised.
That's true. That's
you
true.
Know, I mean, but he's even named Captain, or wait, is it Mr. Riggles? Not Captain, but Mr. Riggles.
Captain Riggles.
Well, I was just thinking that because they said that they named him as an homage to The Exorcist, because in The Exorcist, the devil is who she's talking to, and his name is Captain Howdy. And I always was like, that's a perfect name for the devil. Like, what the fuck? I would be nervous if my kids said they were talking to someone named Captain Howdy. I go, oh, shit. Like, that just, it seems like, oh, it's just a perfect name for something that's like, seems innocent, but it's not.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt about Mr. Riggles. I was like, that's a great name. That really fits in the same kind of name for a demon. I haven't heard a lot of others, but usually they're like their formal names that they're talking about. So it's not like, I love the name that they would give to a child, because he's not going to say, my name is Abraxas. And she's like, okay, I'm talking to Abraxas. It's like, no, you need a fucking kid name. And I love that. I think it's great. But yeah, this movie was pretty wild all the way up until the end. And like, it's just like, I've watched it almost every night since I saw it the first time. I love it. It's so good. It's just a vibe.
Great.
And it's very much like, it's just fun to throw it on.
Yeah. And I mean, at the very least, they should give maybe an Oscar nom for set design or whatever, because like
production design,
it all looked great. like looked so.
Dune 2 is going to take all the fucking production.
I'm saying just
awards.
nominations.
Yeah. Well, they don't nominate horror either.
I know.
They hate us, basically, the Academy. Know what we did, but we're all horror whores in their mind.
All right. Late night show is off. Night owls, we're done. Until we probably watch it again this week because we both enjoyed it so much.
I already have.
But next week, we're talking a little bit about a movie, but this is really going to be a conversation about specific kind of genre of movie. So Renee, what are we watching / talking about?
We're going to be talking about the sorry state of rom-coms today, because I think that's like something that I don't ever think about really, but like it's just really apparent. And we'll kind of sort of be talking about Anyone But You with Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney that just dropped on Netflix, because that's like the new rom-com, one of the only ones I've seen come out recently, well, at least in theaters.
It's definitely the most successful rom-com in a while.
Yeah. And it's like, we both thought it was fine, but it's nothing like the, you know, when we were in the heyday getting all the good ones. Mm-hmm. So we just thought it would be a fun way to kind of talk a little bit about that movie, but then really dig into kind of what is going on with rom-coms these days.
Yeah. Cause clearly with the success of Anyone But You, there is an appetite for rom-coms,
mm-hmm.
but it's interesting how far and few there are nowadays, even compared to just like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It just kind of snuck up on us. So I feel like it'll be a fun talk, but you can also watch Anyone But You ahead of time if you should want to. It's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. It's a good time. But that is it for this week, and we'll see you next week on the regular exclusive podcast.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. We're out here.